We are continuing our study this summer on the statements of Christ in the Gospel of John, where he says, I am the absolute one, he said in John 8:58, to which the Jews took up stones to stone him, where he says, before Abraham was, I am. But the others are metaphorical, where it's, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the door, all of these. You'll find these on the back of your bulletin. And then, as I was going through this, I realized I wanted to do the bread of life on a communion Sunday, so I moved that down to August 6th. So everything was out of order on the back of your bulletin. But Chris was very efficient. She printed up 2 weeks of bulletin ahead, and then I made a change. So your bulletin has a little difference there, but that's okay. We're going to work through all of them. So today, it's I am the door. Notice that your bulletin says, I am the light of the world. That's what we did last week. So on your bulletin, it's a change, but it's correct there on the screen. So let's pray and then look into God's word. Father, again, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you that you have not left us in the dark, but you brought us the light of life, the Lord Jesus himself, who is the word, and the words from the prophets describe him and reveal you to us. Open up our hearts and minds to your word, the physical word, the written word, so that we can understand the living word and his part in our life. We thank you that Jesus is the Christian life to us. Help us to know you, Lord Jesus, and live with you and follow you as we live out our days. Help us to be your witnesses to others so they too can come to know you and be saved. Be your child and be your witness in this world. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So let us look and read responsively the first 10 verses of chapter 10. And I will read the italics, and you read the non-italics. And I will repeat so that it gets recorded. Otherwise, there will just be blank sounds on the website message. John 10, verse 1. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his sheep, he goes on before them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate or the door for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. How many of you have ever taken care of sheep? Okay. One and a half. I've never taken care of sheep, but you've all experienced this, I think, right? Do you remember when you were a child? Or if you've had children, you had to pick them up at school, especially the younger ones, or maybe after a game or a concert or children's church or in the nursery. We see this. We have ESL three mornings and... Well, not at this time, but during the school year. And when the child hears the mother's voice, it's time to go. And they get up and go, usually, not always. And they're like little sheep, right? I don't know if you probably can't remember experiencing it as a child, but maybe you've seen it in other children. So the children know the parents, and the parents know the children. They know your voice. I remember as a child being in a store, and I got away from my mother, and I called out, and I was surprised how many women had the same name. But yes, mom. That's right. But children know their parents, and in this culture, the statements "I am the door" and "I am the good shepherd" go together. It's in the same dialogue, and they go together. We're separating them because we don't want the message to be too long. But as we read there, he's talking about sheep being in a sheep pen or a sheepfold, and the shepherd comes and calls, and they know his voice. And he knows each one of them. He knows them by name. And usually the name is Brownie or Twinkle Toes or something about the sheep itself, the way it's marked or the way it behaves. This is the name that they give it. And maybe you have nicknames for your children the same way. And so even in the nursery, we have doorkeepers. We have a system in place so that the wrong people don't pick up the children, or they don't pick up the wrong children. You get home and your wife says, "Why is he here? And where's Billy?" "Oh, yeah, they all look alike." No, we have these in place. And isn't it true, we see this in the ESL all the time, but they're afraid of strangers. They don't want strangers to pick them up. In fact, sometimes they don't even want to see them. But let's consider sheep, the pen, and the flock. There's two metaphors here, one of the sheep pen and the door, and the other for the shepherd. But to understand this, we have to understand that there's two sheep pens he's talking about. One is in the village, and one is in the open field out by the hillside. And there's a difference. What's the village one? The village, it's just outside the village. It has high walls. It has a gatekeeper or doorkeeper, and it has a strong gate, and usually with a lock. And inside are more than one flock, usually two or three flocks inside. And there's a man whose job it is to watch them during the night. And so that's the gatekeeper, the doorkeeper. That's the village one. Now, do you think in the village they're worried a lot about wolves in the village? Now, what are they worried about? Thieves and robbers, yeah. But in the hillside, it's a little different. There are walls, but there's no gatekeeper. In fact, there's no gate, usually, or a very small one. There's a doorway, and then it might be a small gate, but it's the shepherd who sleeps there. He becomes the gate. And usually, there's just one flock inside. There could be two out there sharing the same thing, but usually it's just one. So it'd be something like this. Somebody's drawn this picture. And so you see the sheep, and you see the shepherd there, and that would be his position for the night, protecting them. And so he becomes the door. But this is the one that's away from the village, right? And so if we go back, and we can see these two described, and you tell me which one is this one in the first four verses. And again, let's read them together. "I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice." So what kind of sheep pen is being described here? The village one. Is there a gatekeeper? Yes, there is. And the gatekeeper knows who the shepherd is, or he doesn't know whose sheep is whose, but he knows this is one of the shepherds who has sheep now in this pen for this night. And so in the morning, the shepherd comes, and the sheep are all mixed together. And now this is different than the way they do it in New Zealand and England. They don't use sheepdogs. These shepherds call And the sheep recognize them, and they come out and they follow the shepherd. And the shepherd goes in front of them. He doesn't drive them from the back like Westerners do with their sheepdogs. No, he's leading them, and they actually follow him. So he calls them, they come, and he goes out, and he leads them. Of course, where are they going? They have to go out into the fields. They have to leave the village, go out in the fields, and find their food there. And then sometimes of the year, they have to go farther and farther. Now, who is Jesus talking about? He's using a figure of speech. And we know he's going to say, I'm the good shepherd. He said, the ones who came before me were thieves and liars. Who's he talking about? Who are these false shepherds? And we'll talk more about that next week, about the good shepherd. But he's talking about the religious leaders of his day. And the last one we looked at, who's that? The blind man, the man born blind. Jesus heals him. He goes to his religious leaders. In fact, he's called into court before them. How did the religious leaders do with this sheep? Did they do a good job shepherding this sheep? No, they didn't. They did very poorly. In fact, they kicked him out. They kicked him out of the sheep pen. Jesus follows or finds him, and this man knew Jesus' voice. In fact, he knew his voice before he saw him, right? Because he had been born blind. And then he worships Jesus and becomes one of Jesus' sheep. And so the blind man who was healed becomes one of Jesus' sheep. He recognized who Jesus was, whereas the leaders did not recognize Jesus. And they were trying to come in a different way. And so that's how this connects to the parable figure of speech that Jesus used. Now let's look at this one. Let's read this one together as well. Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture. Thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. So which sheep pen is this? It's the one outside and on the hillside, the one far away. There's no gate. There's no gatekeeper. But there is the shepherd who himself is the gatekeeper. Now let's ask the question. He says, what happens to the person who enters? He enters in through the gate. And then he goes in and out. So he goes in, and this is a one-time going in. He goes in one time, and something happens to him. And then after that, he goes in and out. What does he mean by going in? He means, well, we'll read it again. Just to make sure we got it. I am the door of the sheep. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. And so this one-time entering means putting their faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their good shepherd. And then after that, they go in and out. What does it mean to go in and out? To go in and out means daily living. Why daily living? Okay, and we'll talk about that in just a second. But he says your daily living will be an abundant life, very, very successful, very prosperous, very, very joyful. And so the first one is going through the door. It's talking about eternal life. It lasts forever, but it does start now. And then the second time, he's talking about going in and out, going in and out. He's talking about daily life. He means the here and now, the following Christ right now. That's what he's talking about. What does he mean? When do you go in? You go in at night. What happens at night? They're supposed to sleep, and they sleep in safety, they sleep in security, and they're sleeping as a family. Now, what if one of the sheep says, I'm a night owl. I like to go out at night. So I'll just go out, and I'll do my grazing at night. One of the reasons that there's a sheep pen is not only to keep the thieves and the wolves out, is to keep the sheep in, because some sheep will think, this is a good idea. I'm going to go out by myself and eat. And he doesn't want that. He wants them to be together as a group. And this is a time for sleeping, not a time for walking around and eating. Why? Because it's dangerous. There's predators out there. There's thieves out there. And also, they can fall and get hurt. And so they need to be in rhythm with the shepherd, going out when it's time to go out and coming back when it's time to come back. That's what life is like. And when we get out of rhythm, we can get really messed up. If we're doing things at night we shouldn't be doing, what happens at night? A lot of bad things happen at night. And so we shouldn't be doing some of those things. And when we read through Thessalonians, he said, those who get drunk at night. And those who sin, get sin at night. He says, but you don't belong to the night. You belong to the day. Now, some people have to work at night. Even in this story, is there someone working at night? Who? The gatekeeper. That's his job. He's a night watchman. If he goes there and he's sleeping and they say, you're sleeping, it's nighttime, but you're the night watchman. Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay. It's his job. He has to be up at night. But for most people, no. And so, yes, there's always exceptions, but in the rhythm of life, there's a time for that. It's one of the Psalms says that God gives sleep and rest to his people. That's why there's nighttime. But what about going out? When do you do that? In the morning. Why do they go out? Is there food inside? Is there a big bale of hay dumped inside that? No. The hay or straw or whatever is not dumped on top of them. They go out. Does that involve work? Are they being carried out? How are they getting out there? They're walking. And so they have to walk on their own, and they have to graze, and then they have to do something. Now, maybe you would disagree with me when I wrote that as work. But it's actually work. They have to do it themselves. And is it good for the sheep to walk? Yes. It's one of the healthiest exercises. They have to walk, they have to graze, they have to learn how to obey, they have to learn to come when they're called, and they have to learn to stick together. They have to work. Now, when did work begin with man? Whose idea was work? And when did it begin? Before or after sin? Before. What happened? What did sin do to it? Made it toilsome. But sin did not begin work. It made it toilsome and frustrating and futile. But work is part of life. And yes, sin can complicate it, and we live in a complicated world now. But God wants us to do that. He wants us to work. And so they go out and they feed themselves. It's not being dumped on them. In fact, what would it be like if they laid in the pen and just ate all the time and they didn't walk? What would happen? They would be very fat. In fact, that's how they fatten up animals for the slaughter. And it's not good for us either. So we do need to work. And where are they going? Going outside the safety of this fold or this pen, going out into the world. And so that's what God wants us to do as well. When we follow Christ, we follow him out into the world. And part of what we do is we witness to the world by living for Christ. When we are following the shepherd, that is actually witnessing to the world. They want to see people following the shepherd. And of course, one of the shepherd's instructions is tell the gospel to the world. So, we go in and out. There's rest and there's work. There's safety and there's strife. There's struggle. There's rhythms to life. There's adventure. Can you imagine how boring it would be if there wasn't any struggle, any strife? You need some tension. Someone said, without tension, you couldn't have any music. Like guitars have strings, do they have to have tension on them? and also for the piano. What about the human voice? Is there tension even here on the voice? Yeah, so without any tension, we can't even have music. You don't want too much tension, right? Can you break a string on a guitar? I think so, yeah. And I think people have strained their voice. So, yeah, we want tension. We don't want too much, but sometimes it comes, and it makes it an adventure, and it makes it so it's not boring. God wants us to learn to follow the shepherd. We'll talk about that next week. He wants us to learn how to live in the safety. There's times to come in and rest in the Lord and trust Him. And going in and out, He means that you can trust God to be with you, not only when you're in the safety of this little room, but you can trust God when you go out into the world, because He's with you. And that's what we want. Is this an easy thing to do? Sheep can do it. And even children can do it. But sometimes as adults, we complicate this. Is He with us? Yes. Is there danger in the world? Yes. But what did David say? The Lord is my shepherd. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. These are the tools of the shepherd. We'll talk about that next week. But because the shepherd is with them, not only can they be in the fold, but they can also be out in the world. And they can come and go with confidence that God is with them. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to have confidence that He is with us. But also, we have to learn to be in step with Him and be in rhythm with Him. And sometimes that's counterculture to what we're used to. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this day and for the time for us to be together, to worship. This is one of the rhythms that we have, to come together, to sing, to pray, to talk to one another, to hear Your word, to look into it, and then examine how, Lord, can we live in a way that pleases You? How can we live in a way that makes us more obedient as disciples, knowing and doing not just some of what You say, but all of what You say. You tell us to go into all the world, make disciples, and baptize them, which we're going to do next week. And so, Lord, we pray if anyone needs to be baptized, they'll let us know, and they can share their testimony and join in being baptized. And then You said, teach them to obey all that I've commanded You, and I am with you always until the end of the age. Lord, help us to be sheep who follow You, who know that You love us. You know each one by name. You call, and we hear, and we follow, and we don't run away. We don't stay behind cowering in the sheep pen, but we go in and out as it's time to do that. Thank You for these things. And we pray for them, asking in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.